There's a young family in our church, and with their permission, I want to tell you a little bit of their story. When this young couple first came to City Light, they were very young in their Christian faith. And so if you're very young in your Christian faith or just checking Christianity out, you've come to the right place. We're really glad that you're here. And over the course of time, Andrea and I had the joy of watching this young couple go from very young in their Christian faith to just increasing joy in the gospel, love for the Lord, and a deepening trust in God's word and what it says for all of life and its authority for how we think and what we believe. And so over time, we got to watch this couple grow in beautiful ways, and they're now vital leaders of our church. And with their permission, I can also tell you that for over a year now, they've been trying to have a baby. And they've been struggling deeply with infertility. And over the course of this well over year-long struggle with infertility, they've also saved thousands of dollars to cover the initial costs of bringing a new baby into their home. And a couple weeks ago, we gathered in this room for what is called our advanced commitment night. It was the night when the leaders of City Light Church, many of us, including Andrea and myself, made our financial commitments to Reach. And this couple was there. And as part of their Reach commitment, they gave the entirety of their baby fund to the Lord. And to be honest with you, I just haven't gotten over that since. And it really has, in some ways, very little to do with the money. It's more that I know how much they long to have a baby. And what they're saying in this incredible act of generosity is everything we have and everything we are and everything we long for belongs to the Lord. And so they're making this incredibly generous commitment, a commitment that, frankly, in the eyes of the world and sadly even some Christians seems illogical and foolish. They're making this commitment in an act of, Lord, you own everything. We're giving you our first, our best, our longings, and we're just trusting you with whatever it is that you choose to give to us. And I'll tell you, and here's my point, their giving has caused me to give thanks to God. And that's really the ultimate point of it all, that our giving actually covers more than financial needs. Our giving causes one another to give glory to God. That's where the Apostle Paul takes us in this final passage in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which we've been walking through. In chapter 9, verses 11 to 12, he writes, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." And these verses bring us actually to the final big idea of our journey through what God's word has to say about making an eternal impact with the master's resources. And that big idea is this: give so that others will give thanks to God. Today, City Light, let's give in a way so that others will give thanks to God. Now you may be wondering, well, how exactly does that work? Three ways. First, your giving supplies needs. So give so that others will give thanks to God. The first way that works is your giving supplies needs. The second way that works is your giving supplies more than needs. And the third way that works is your giving is his gift. So let's begin with the first. Your giving supplies needs. The Apostle Paul begins our passage with a verse actually that may surprise some of you and shock a few of you. And so what I want to do is actually put a quick parenthesis here. I want to read the verse and explain what it means before we get into the heart of our passage. So let's look again at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Paul writes, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." Okay. So Paul begins our passage with a promise that is not unique to Paul. It's a promise the Lord Jesus makes in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a promise that's repeated throughout the Bible, and here's the promise. God enriches generous believers so that they can be even more generous. That's the promise. The Lord will enrich generous believers so they can be even more generous. Now, for some of you, when you read that verse, you have a visceral reaction, and understandably so, because that sounds to you like the so-called prosperity gospel. That sounds to you like the false teaching that if we give, then we'll get rich, full stop. And instinctively, we know that can't be true. Like, instinctively, we know that the Lord doesn't motivate generosity by appealing to selfishness. And so, and this is my fear, honestly, I think some of us tend to go to the other unbiblical extreme. And we ignore the wonderful promise that God has made to us. The wonderful promise that's actually meant to motivate our generosity. And that promise is that God will enrich generous believers who are generous in Jesus' name so that they'll have more than enough to keep on being generous. Now, notice the promise is not give and you'll get rich so you can spend it on your passions. It's that generous believers who give in Jesus' name will be enriched to the point that they can keep on being generous until the day that they die. Isn't that a relief? I mean, how wonderful. We quite literally can't outgive God. And so we're free today to give in such a way so that others will give thanks to God because we know that he'll keep on providing everything we need to be generous as we're living generously. As Pastor Tony Evans says in his Bible commentary, commenting on this verse, he says, when God's kingdom is given priority in your life, you open yourself to waves of grace that are bigger than your gift. So let's close the parenthesis there. We give so that others will give thanks to God because we know we can't outgive him and because our giving supplies needs. Take a look again at 2 Corinthians 9, 11 to 12. Let's follow Paul's logic. He says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce, look at this, thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So let's review where we've been with Paul and the Corinthians. What Paul is telling the Corinthians is, as you guys give generously of your finances to provide for the poor Christians in Jerusalem, you're going to supply more than their needs, but you're not going to supply less than needs. You're going to supply for their needs, and when you do, they're going to give thanks to God on your behalf. You give the gift, they have their needs supplied, and God gets all of the glory. In other words, when these generous Corinthians give to the suffering saints in Jerusalem and they have their basic needs met, as they have food and shelter, they will give all thanks to God for the generosity of the Corinthians who are meeting very real needs. Give so that others will give thanks to God because you're giving supplies needs. And very practically, City Light, in just a few minutes, we're going to fill out these REACH commitment cards. And your REACH commitments are going to supply a very real need. You know, as I said a few moments ago, after 10 years of gospel ministry, we're not being permitted to stay in this building that we love any longer. And City Light needs a long-term place where we can continue to gather for God's glory, be discipled in the gospel, and be sent to live for his glory all week long. We need a place where our children can come to know the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need a place to invite our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and our classmates. It's a very real need. And not only that, not only do we need a place to gather, the greatest need that our city and our region have is a vibrant and many vibrant churches proclaiming the gospel of Jesus and making a real difference in his name. And the greatest need in our world and into future generations are churches that make the real Jesus non-ignorable and send out new churches to be planted everywhere. We give so that others will give thanks to God because our giving supplies very real needs. And one day, your giving is going to supply those needs. And others are going to thank God for it. You know, one day soon, we're going to be gathering in a facility that is beautiful and is our own. And when we do, we're going to give thanks to God for the need that you supplied today. You know, one day soon, when our children are learning the good news of Jesus in a space designed with just them in mind, we're all going to give thanks to God for the commitments that you'll make today. You know, one day when our coworkers and classmates, our friends and neighbors are gathering with us, hearing the good news of Jesus and being baptized in our new facility, we're all going to give thanks to God because of the very real needs that you met through your commitments today. And one day soon, when our neighbors and neighborhoods are served in Jesus' name and our region has new church plants sent out into it, we're all going to give thanks to God because of the commitments you made today that supplied real needs. And someday, not very long from now, when all of us are gone and a new generation of people are still proclaiming the gospel and making Jesus known from our long-term facility, people we don't even know are going to give thanks to God because of the commitments you'll make today to meet very real needs. City Light, today we have the privilege of giving so that others will give thanks to God, because today we're going to meet very real needs. But that's not the only way this works. We also give so that others will give thanks to God because our giving supplies, secondly, more than needs. Our giving supplies more than needs. I mean, yes, the suffering Christians in Jerusalem are going to give thanks to God when the Corinthians provide for their food and their shelter, but they're actually going to give thanks to God, it says, even more so because of what gave rise to the Corinthians' generosity. They're going to thank God even more because their generosity is a sign that the gospel of grace has taken hold of their hearts and even informed their wallets. Take a look at verses 13 to 14. Paul writes, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God." But look at this. "Because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you." In other words, the poor Christians in Jerusalem, they're going to give thanks for their needs being met, but actually even more so. They're going to give thanks to God because their needs are being met by people whose hearts have been transformed by God's generosity in the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news that God so loved the world, not that he kept, but he gave. He gave his only son to live, die, and rise so that sinners like us who believe in him will not perish but enjoy everlasting life now and forever. And when the Corinthians give generously, these poor Christians in Jerusalem say, all glory to God, because only his grace can make people long-term generous. And so they thank God because the giving supplies more than needs. You know, in just a few minutes, we're going to watch a video. The video is going to be from our advanced commitment night, that evening when many of the leaders of City Light Church made their generosity commitments to reach. And you're going to get to hear the heart behind their giving. You'll notice that actually no one mentions the amount that they gave, because what's most important is the heart behind the giving. And so here's my just simple encouragement to you. When you hear that video, give thanks to God for his grace that has made your leaders generous. Amen that. Give thanks to God. Say, praise the Lord, because it's only his grace that makes us generous. So give so that others give glory to God First, yes, because giving supplies needs, but secondly, because giving does more than supplies needs. It shows off the generosity of God in the gospel, that he so loved the world that he didn't keep, but he gave his son for us. And now finally, give so that others will give glory to God, give thanks to God, because your giving is God's gift. Your giving, third and finally, is God's gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 is probably the most important verse in the Bible when it comes to generosity. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. All of our giving flows from God's inexpressible gift. Every bit of our generosity from beginning to end flows from God, who has given us an inexpressible gift. And in the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that inexpressible gift is Christ himself. There are quite literally not enough words, not the right words, to ever express the wonder of God's inexpressible gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. When we were dead in our sins, God gave us the inexpressible gift of Christ, who died so that we might live. When we were estranged from God, God gave us the inexpressible gift of Christ, who was forsaken on the cross, so that we would not be God forsaken forever. When he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? God gave us the inexpressible gift of Christ taking the full judgment of our sins so that we can be forgiven and free forever. When we were without hope, God gave the inexpressible gift of Christ, who died but 3 days later was raised to eternal life, so that we have eternal hope now and forever. When we, not just in the past, but today, sin in so many ways, God gives the inexpressible gift of Christ, who still lives to intercede for us, who pleads our case before the Father, whose blood still covers us. You know, let's never think of the gospel as good news of only what happened for us in the past. I don't know about you, I still sin a whole lot today. I need grace for today, because my sins rise up and accuse me today. Today, Satan says to me, are you sure you actually love the king? You know, I've told some of you this before. I've been now for a long time reading a Little Pilgrim's Big Journey to my kids. And it's a children's rendition of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And there's one great scene where little Christian is, he's on the path toward the celestial city. And he's made a lot of mistakes. You know, he's gone off the path, he's fallen asleep at the wrong times, on and on. And he comes to this point where he has to fight the Satan character, Apollyon, this horrible dragon. He's got a sword and a spear. And Apollyon comes to attack Christian, and he actually attacks him first with an accusation. And he says to him, you know, you say that you're following the king's path to the celestial city, but you don't seem to love the king at all. And then he reminds Christian of all of his sins. He says, you know, you veered from the king's path. You didn't trust his instructions. You fell asleep when you should have been walking. You fell into the bog of despond. And you want to know how Christian responds? He says, everything you say is true, and many other things that you failed to mention. But my king is gracious and merciful, ready to forgive all who turn to him. Friends, God has given us the inexpressible gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins, has been resurrected, and now lives to intercede for us, so that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.